Come on in, Punia. The water's fine.
We should have a contest. Let's see. We should have a contest, and whoever wins the contest gets to eat the people on the other side.
Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. You know, some of my favorite stories are stories in which the solver of the problem, the winner of the prize, the saver of the day, isn't the biggest or strongest, but he's just a regular old guy like me, using his noodle, his wits. And we got a couple of stories for you today that have that in common. One character outwitting his opponent. And the stakes in today's stories also both have to do with hungry characters getting food. So they have that in common, too. You might call them food fights. And our first tale is a Hawaiian folk story about a boy who dives deep into his local bay to face the king of the sharks in order to feed his family. Here's Alton Takeyama Chung with Punia and Kaialeale.
Once a long, long time ago on the big island of Hawaii, there's on the Bay of Kohala, there was a village. And on this village, even though the bay was filled with fish and squid, all kinds of good things to eat, the people never went fishing on the bay. They only ate the sweet potatoes which they could grow on the land. This was because of a huge mano, a huge shark named Kaialeale. Kaialeale and his 10 minion sharks patrol the bay. The last person to go fishing on the bay was Punia's father. And Kaialeale and his 10 minion sharks ate him up. Now, one night, Punia's mother was having their dinner of sweet potatoes. She said, "Oh, I wish we could have lobsters to go with our sweet potatoes." And Punia said, "Mom, you want lobsters? I'll get you lobsters." Because Punia's father had told him where there's a rocky ledge, and below that ledge was a cave where the fat, juicy lobsters lived. And so Punia went up to that ledge and looked down the water, and there, lined up in front of that cave, was Kaialeale and his 10 minion sharks. But they looked like they were asleep. And Punia said, "My name is Punia, and I'm going to dive in the water over there by that sandbar over there. I'm going to dive in the water, I'm going to swim into the cave, get two fat juicy lobsters for my dinner today, and Kaialeale and his 10 minion sharks won't even know that I'm there." But Kaialeale was awake.
"Wake up, wake up, wake up, don't move, don't move, don't move. Now, when Punia dives in the water over there by that sandbar, we're going to swim over there and we're going to eat him up.
Oh boy, we're going to eat Punia, we're going to eat Punia.
Yeah, 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 we're going to have Punia cow cow, we're going to eat Punia."
"You too. Shut up. Now, I wonder if Punia's as tasty as his father was. Come on in, Punia. The water's fine."
But Punia was akamai. He was smart. He picked up a pohaku, a rock, and he threw it. So it landed with a big splash by that sandbar. And Kaialeale and his 10 million sharks all swam toward that sandbar. But Punia dove this way. He dove down in the water, swam into the cave, got two fat juicy lobsters, swam back up, climbed back on the ledge, and said, "Mahalo nui loa. Thank you so very much, Kaialeale, king of Kohala Bay. And thank you for these two fat juicy lobsters for my dinner today. And thank you, Thin Tail, the shark with the thin tail, who told me what to do." Oh, when Kaialeale heard that, said, "All right, everyone, line up, line up. You."
Me?
"Yeah, you, Thin Tail. Come here."
Okay.
You told the boy what to do. Now you must go."
And so Kaialeale and his 9 minion sharks chased Thin Tail, the shark with the snail, all of Kohala Bay. But he saw this. He said, "Huh, that's one." A few nights later, Punia's mother said, "Oh, wait, those lobsters were so good. I wish we could have lobsters again with our sweet potatoes."
"Mom, you want lobsters? I'll get you lobsters."
And so Punia again went to that rocky ledge over the cave where the fat juicy lobsters lived. He said, he looked down, and there was, lined up in front of the cave, Kaialeale and his 9 minion sharks. And Punia said, "My name is Punia, and I'm going to dive over there by that rock that just juts out from the land. I'll dive in there, swim into the cave, get 2 fat juicy lobsters for my dinner tonight, and Kai Ali Ali and his 10 million sharks, 9 million sharks, won't even know that I'm there." But Kai Ali Ali was awake. "Wake up, wake up, wake up, don't move, don't move, don't move. Now, when Punia dives over there by that rock that juts out from the land, we're going to swim over there, and we're going to eat him up.
Oh boy, cow, cow, we're going to eat Punia, we're going to eat Punia."
"You, shut up. Now, come on in, Punia. The water's fine." Punia, again, akamai, picked up a pohaku. He threw it, so it landed with a great big splash by that rock that just juts out from the land. All Kai Ali Ali and his 9 million sharks swam toward that rock, but Punia dove this way. He dove down in, swam in the water, swam into the cave, got 2 fat juicy lobsters for his dinner, swam back up, climbed back up on that rocky ledge and said, "Mahalo nui loa, thank you, Kai Ali Ali, king of Koala Bay, and thank you for these 2 fat juicy lobsters for my dinner today. And thank you, Opunui, the shark with a fat belly, who told me what to do." Oh, when Kai Ali Ali heard that, said, "All right, everyone, line up, line up, line up. Yeah, you.
Me?
Yeah, you, Opunui, shark with a fat belly, come over here."
"I don't wanna."
"I said, come over here."
"I can hear you just fine from over here."
You told the boy what to do. Now you must go." And so Kai Ali Ali and his 8 minion sharks chased Opunui, the shark with a fat belly, out of Kohala Bay. When he saw this, he said, "Huh, that's 2. Well, this went on and on and on and on until there's only 1 shark left, which was Kai Ali Ali himself. Opunui knew he had to do something special to get rid of Kai Ali Ali. So he went up into the mountains and got tough wood. Strong wood, lehua wood. Wood so dense that it sinks in water. He got 2 pieces of those wood. And then he went and cocked some charcoal, put that in his bag. He got the aulima, the stick that you rub with, and the aunaki, the stick that you rub on, to make fire. And he put that in his bag. And he went to his mother and asked her to weave him a mat with the mesh so fine that water could not pass through. When the mat was finished, he rolled that up and put that in his bag. And then he went to that ledge overlooking the cave where the fat juicy lobsters lived, and looked down, and there was Kai Ali Ali, the huge mono, the huge shark, looking up at him. And Punia said, "My name is Punia. And if I dive in the water, and Kai Ali Ali bites me, and my blood rises to the surface of the water, my mother will use her magic and bring me back to life. But if Kai Ali Ali swallows me whole, I will surely die." And Punia, Kai Ali Ali's in the water going, "Oh, Punia, Punia, I want you to die, Punia. I'm going to open up my jaws wide, wide, wide and swallow you down whole because I want you to die, Punia. Come on in, Punia. The water's fine." But Punia's looking down this huge mono with this huge sharp mouth full of sharp teeth. And he closes his eyes, holds his bag, and he leaps off of the cliff. And Kai Ali Ali opens his jaws wide, 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 and gulp, swallows him down whole. But as soon as Punia has passed those sharp teeth, he reaches the bag, pulls out those two sticks of heavy, dense, strong wood, and sticks them in the corner of Kai Ali Ali's mouth. So Kai Ali Ali can't close his jaws. And Kai Ali Ali begins swimming around Kohala Bay. Well, Punia continues on down into his throat. He pulls out that mat, the mat with a mesh so fine that water cannot pass through, and he unfurls it and stuffs it into Kai Ali Ali's throat so Kai Ali Ali can't swallow water to drown him. And he continues on down into Kai Ali Ali's opu, his stomach. And there he gets the aulima, the stick that you rub with, and the aunaki, the stick that you rub on, and he rubbed them till he got fire, and he got the charcoal, and he got his charcoal burning, and then he put out some of those sweet potatoes that he had in his pocket, and he roasted them, and he had lunch. Meanwhile, Kai Ali Ali is swimming around Kohala Bay with his jaws going, "Smoke, someone's having lunch. Oh, oh,
It's me. Oh, my opu, my stomach. Ah, it's on fire. Ah!
And he begins swimming around Kohala Bay. And then he turns out to sea. All of a sudden, Punia, inside of his opu, inside of his stomach, hears the changing of the surf. He climbs back up into his throat, pulls down that mat, looks out, and he sees that he's heading out to sea. He can see the huge breakers, the huge waves smashing upon the outer reef, and he knows he's in big trouble. And he goes, ah, the breakers. If I can reach the breakers, I will be safe. But if Kaialiali takes me up, high, high up in the sand dunes where the tall grass grows, I will surely die. Kaiala is mad with pain. He said, oh, Punia, I want you to die, Punia. I'm going to go way, way up in the sand dunes where the tall grass grows because I want you to die, Punia. And he turns around and begins swimming faster and faster and faster until he comes to the shallow waters and he leaps high, high, high. He launches himself way, way up and he lands, thump, high up in the sand dunes where the tall grass grows, where no shockers have ever been before. And he goes, Uh-oh. And Punia climbs out of his mouth. He goes down to the village and says, bring your spears, bring your knives. Look who's come to visit us today. It's Kaialiali, king of Kohala Bay. And so the people brought their knives and they brought their spears and they took care of Kaialiali. And after that, the people could go on Kohala Bay. They could catch the fish. They could catch the squid. They could have all kinds of good things to eat. And Punia and his mother could have lobsters any time they pleased.
That was Alton Takeyama Chung with Punia and Kaialiali. Now listen, I'm no Punia when it comes to using my wits to avoid trouble, but Alton's story reminds me of a time when I was very small, just 6 or 7 years old, at Grandma's house. Her cupboards were always full of treats, cookies and jars of hard candy and all the tastiest kinds of cold cereal, a wonderland. But Grandma kept us on a short leash when it came to treats. We didn't have unfettered access. We had to ask. And it had to be the right time of day, in the right relationship to a meal, which is why it was such an outlaw move for me one afternoon when I'd been left alone in the house with my grandma and she was folding laundry in the other room for me to sneak to the cupboard and take down a whole package of Oreo cookies. And I opened that package and took out a cookie and screwed the chocolate sandwich part of the cookie away from the only part I was interested in, the cream filling. Man, that stuff. I mean, one just wasn't enough, nor two. And pretty soon, I had an enormous pile of chocolate cookie wafers stacked in front of me on a table, all stripped of their cream filling, a whole package worth. And that's when my grandma walked in. And what she saw in front of her told the whole story. I didn't even have to open my mouth. My grandma opened hers. Oh no, she said. What's been going on here? Busted. Caught with my hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. No way out. And in that instant, my brain, without thinking, put some words in my mouth. And I opened it, and those words came out. Grandma, I said, I've been hard at work cleaning the nasty old filling out of these cookies so you could enjoy the best part. I gestured toward the pile of chocolate cookie wafers on the table. And there was a deafening silence in the space between me and my grandma. And then my grandma started to laugh. She laughed until she shook all over, and I laughed too. The whole thing, I must say, put me off Oreo cookies for a while, but I'm still alive. And that's where Alton's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? And our next story is based on a traditional West African folktale from the Ashanti. It stars one of the world's great trickster characters, Anansi the Spider, who uses his wits to try and get his next meal. Now, this is a pourquoi story. That's the word that means why in French. And a pourquoi story is one that explains in a storytelly way how something came to be the way it is. And this story explains the who gets to eat and who gets eaten relationship between spiders and certain other critters. We think you'll get a kick out of Anansi and the Liars Contest, told for you by Willie Claflin.
So Anansi, a spider, was walking through the woods, and he was thinking about yams. About all he ever thinks about, Anansi, is yams, eating yams, looking at yams, boiled yams and fried yams and stewed lambs, and just he loves yams. And he was thinking about yams, paying no attention to where he was going. And it was a bad idea because as he was passing through the woods, out from behind a log jumped moth, fly, and mosquito. And they attacked Anansi and tried to kill him. Anansi fought back as hard as he could, and he was a lot bigger and stronger than each one of them, but the three of them against him, they were just equal in strength, and they fought until after about an hour of fighting, they all just fell down in the dust, exhausted. And Anansi said, "What was that all about?" And Moth said, "Well, we were sitting here, and we were hungry, and we saw you passing by, and we thought we'd knock you down and eat you." Anansi said, "That's not very neighborly. I've got a good mind to eat you guys instead." And Fly said, "Well, it's no use, because we're not stronger than you are, and you're not stronger than we are. I guess we'll just have to all go hungry." Anansi said, No. That's no good. We should have a contest. Let's see. We should have a contest, and whoever wins the contest gets to eat the people on the other side." So Moth said, "You mean like, so you win, you eat the three of us, we win, we eat you?" "Yeah," said Anansi, "I figured out the body weight. That seems like a fair deal to me." "Okay," said Moth, "how's it work?" "Well, it's complicated," said Anansi, and it was. "Here's how it works. Everybody gets a turn to tell a story. If anyone on the other side thinks it's a lie, they have to say it's a lie, okay? But if they say it's a lie, then the other side gets to eat them." Fly said, "Wait a minute, okay. Well, give me an example. My brain is kind of messed up here. You're saying if I tell a story and you know that it's a lie, you have to say, that's a lie. And if you say, that's a lie, I get to eat you?" "Yup," said Anansi. Moth said, "By my calculation, it makes a big difference who goes first." "If you see what I mean, because..." Yeah, I know," Moth said. I don't care. Who do you want to have go first, Anansi?" Anansi said, "You guys can go first." Moth thought, "Aha, we got him." "Okay," said Moth. "Anansi, I was, let's see. Oh, my family every year, we raise all kind of crops, and my father harvests them with a machete, and we take them down to the village, and we sell them, and that's how we make money and how we get our food for the year. Well, my father was out, and he was clearing away brush with his machete. He was getting ready to plant. But he slipped. And he cut his foot very, very badly, almost lost his foot. He had to come back bandaged up, and he was crippled for 5 or 6 months. Now, I hadn't been born yet. I was still inside my mother's tummy. I hadn't been born yet, but I thought, well, I should do something for my parents. And so even though I hadn't been born yet, I went out and cleared the field and did the planting myself." But he wasn't done. And then Anansi, you know, because it was still going to be a couple months before I was born, well, you know, the sun shone and the rain falled and I grew the crops and I harvested them. And I took them downtown, I sold them, I brought home food and money. And then I was born. And looked at Anansi, thinking, okay, that's it. Contest's over. And Anansi said, "I'm so ashamed." What do you mean you're ashamed? I never thought of doing anything for my parents before I was born." "You're so kind and powerful that you're able to do that. I'm so ashamed of myself." Moth said, you're telling me you think that's the truth?" Anansi said, "Yeah, you're not telling me that was a lie, are you?" No, said Moth. The thing is, Anansi said, you can tell by a storyteller's tone of voice if they're telling you the truth. You can hear the sincerity and the honesty and the warmth in their voice. And I could hear that in your voice. I knew it had to be true. Well, Mosquito was a little worried already. He said, oh, and by the way, said Anansi, I want to thank you for telling a true story so I didn't have to lose my life. So Mosquito realized he had his work cut out for him. He said, okay, I was out hunting, and I shot lion, but the bullet was taking forever to get there. So I thought, I don't have time for this. I ran ahead, I caught my bullet, and I put it back. There's no point in wasting ammunition. And then when I got to lion, I killed him, and then I was just about to take him home when hyena showed up. Hyena wanted to get my kill. Hyena was going to steal my kill. And I'm much smaller than hyena. I didn't know what to do. So I thought, well, and I hit upon what to do. I said something real. I will not even repeat it here or anywhere else ever. I said something so awful about his grandmother that he was furious. And he opened his mouth and he roared. And that was just the opening I was looking for. I flew into his open mouth all the way down through him to the end of his tail and I pulled him inside out. Now, it turned out he had just swallowed a sheep whole. So now the sheep was on the outside and the hyena was on the inside of the sheep. And I rode the sheep home. Again, Anansi said, oh, wow, what a hunter. I'm really ashamed. You guys probably deserve to eat me. I'm nothing compared to you. But in all my days, I never was able to pull off a shot like that. Boy, all my admiration goes out to you, Mosquito. And Mosquito said, you think it's true? Oh, of course, said Anansi. Are you telling me it's a lie? No, said Mosquito. You know, the reason I know, said Anansi, I can just see the truth shining from your eyes. Because when you look at a storyteller and they're telling you the truth, you can tell whether they're lying or not. So I know that has to be true. Well, now it was Fly's turn. Fly was not optimistic, but nevertheless, he said, okay, Anansi, very funny. I was out and I shot elephant, okay? And then I cut him up into 10,000 pieces. And then I put him in a big net. And I hauled the net to the top of a tree, and I went up to the top of the tree to hide the elephant meat, because everyone loves to eat elephant meat. I didn't want to share. I had a little piece of elephant meat. But you know, Anansi, it's like peanuts or something. You take one, you can't stop there. Before I knew it, I'd eaten the entire elephant, all 10,000 pieces of elephant meat. And I had put on considerable weight. And it was hard for me to imagine how I could possibly get down out of the tree weighing that much. I couldn't figure it out. Till finally I realized, of course, went back to my village, got a rope, and slowly lowered myself down. And he looked at Anansi, and Anansi said, once again, I just have to hand it to you guys. You put me to shame, your hunting prowess, your ability to tell true stories. Fly said, oh, come on, Anansi. Come on, Anansi. You believe that? And Anansi said once again, if you tell me it's a lie, No, said Fly. Besides, said Anansi, I see the truth shining out from all 100 eyes. Actually, 99, because I see something happen to one of your eyes. Sorry about that. You got 99 good eyes. All right, Anansi, said Fly. Very funny. It's your turn. Oh, said Anansi. I found a coconut. I planted the coconut. A coconut tree grew. At the top of the tree, there were three coconuts. Many years had gone by. I was hungry. I shook the tree. Three coconuts fell to the ground. Doom, doom, doom. I thought, which one shall I eat? I thought, well, I'll eat the one that's the sweetest. So I cut open the first one, and you won't believe what was inside the first one. A moth was inside the first one. So I don't know how the heck a moth got inside my coconut, but it doesn't matter. It belongs to me. It's my coconut. I split open the second one. There was a mosquito inside the second coconut. I thought, wow, this is the weirdest thing ever. Split open the third one. There was a fly. There was a moth, a fly, and a mosquito inside my coconuts. And I thought, well, I don't care where they came from, but they're mine. I get to eat them. And now that I look at you, moth, You're the same moth that flew out of my coconut. I can tell because there's that little tear in your left wing. Yeah, I know, and you know what I'm talking about. And mosquito, I know you're the same mosquito that flew out of my coconut because your stinger is a little bit bent over to the right-hand side. You know that? And fly, well, my fly had 99 good eyes. So you guys belong to me, and I get to eat you. And fly was just about to say, that's a lie, when moth stopped him. See, you can't say that's a lie. If you say it's a lie, he gets to eat us. Yeah, but if it's true, then we belong to him and he gets to eat us. And Anansi said, and here was his mistake. You know what really made me mad, guys? What? Said Fly. Before I could eat them, they flew away. Moth said, let's just do what they did in the story, okay? Let's just. And they all flew away, zoop, like that, and they were gone. Poor Anansi. Well, he was left hungry, walking through the woods and talking through the woods and thinking about yams and thinking about moths and mosquitoes and flies. And he decided for himself and all his children and grandchildren, they were going to eat as many moths, flies, and mosquitoes as possible. And that is the end of Anansi and the Liars Contest.
That was Willie Claflin with Anansi and the Liars Contest. Have you ever been tricked out of something you really wanted? Do you have any food strategies that assure a favorite snack will be waiting for you when you need one? What sacrifices or risks have you made to care for the people you love? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Alton Takeyama Chung and Willie Claflin for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. Hearing people talk about their own faith traditions can help strengthen your faith. Learn more with Stephen Cap Perry on the BYU Radio podcast, In Good Faith, wherever you get your podcasts.